Hopefully you heard Brother Robert, song number 812 of the invitation song. 812. And Lord willing, when we sing that song, we'll be thinking about our own selves, our own lives, and what we all need to do and practice in order to remain in the Lord's grace and in His kingdom. In 1 Peter, we began preaching a series, and that series was started at verse 3, and we read and studied all the way to verse 12. And as we think about our last lesson, and we think about that title of hope, we should realize that hope is the focus. We searched the Scriptures, and we understood that Peter was writing to the Jewish Christians after the dispersion out of Rome, Jerusalem. They left into Asia Minor because of all that persecution, the trials, and the troubles that they had to face. And Peter's letting us know that even though there are hardships and trials, on the other side of that, we have hope. On the other side of sickness, there's hope. On the other side of loss, there's hope. Even on the other side of death, if we die in the Lord, there's hope. Because there's hope in heaven. That's where our hope rests, where our Lord and our God and our King resides. And we are recipients of that promise, recipients of all those promises, the promise of eternal life that is reserved in heaven by the power of God. How important it is to understand that we have an inheritance. We're part of a family in Christ. And because of these things, we can greatly rejoice, as Peter taught us. And rightfully, Peter said, rejoice with joy inexpressible. There's no way to fathom the depth of our joy and the hope that is to come. It's just full of glory and grace, and even under the persecutions, these things will keep us moving forward. Our living hope is on the other side of all those trials. And that was the real point of last week's lesson. And in verse 9, we received the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. And that's where we're headed. That's what we're hoping for. And so now today we continue in this thinking about our hope. And the subject today, of course, is hope, fully dependent upon God's grace. You want to notice with me in verse 13, and that's primarily where we'll be spending time. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, he says. Gird up the loins of your mind. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the New King James Version tells us. As we look at this, and what's in yellow there, rest your hope fully upon the grace. That's where we want to set our minds. Now, the English Standard Version, it has set your hope completely on the grace. And then you have the Contemporary English Version, which simply says, put all your hope in how God will treat you with undeserved grace. So the point that we need to notice here is that idea of hope being fully upon the grace of God. That's where our hope has to lie. And there's some points to consider in this verse, but we want to focus and not be confused. Focus on that phrase, hope fully upon the grace. This is a key for every Christian. It is something that comes from God to us. And, you know, as we think about grace, usually it's defined as it's something that God gives us that we don't deserve. It's an unmerited favor from God. But, you know, grace is much more than that. As we study this lesson today, we understand that, yes, grace is attached to our salvation. Without grace, we cannot be saved. But grace is more than that. We need God's grace in times of trial. We need to rest our hopes upon His grace in times of trial. When a loved one is sick, times of trial, we need to depend on God's grace. Sure, we go to the hospital. Sure, we get medications. Sure, we listen to the doctors. But we need to have our hope, not in the doctors, not in the medicine, but in and on the grace of God. You lose your job. Grace of God. You struggle with a family member. Grace of God. You find yourself sick. Grace of God. And so those are key things to remember in this very powerful message. And so that's the place where our trust and has to be completely, all, fully upon the grace of God. And so you listen here. Our trust is not in this world when we think of that. Our confidence, that's what this is all about. The confidence and our trust is not to be placed upon anything in this world. Our confidence and our trust must be contingent upon the grace of God. You know, everything in this world is going to perish one day. It's not in money, because your money can be gone in a heartbeat. It isn't in other people, because people die, people change. I know of people that are foolish in the sense that you say or do something that they disagree with, and all of a sudden you become their enemy. You can't depend on that. You can't depend on any possessions that you have, any status that you may have, any educational background, any degrees with all those letters and numbers after your name. And really the only thing that should be after your name is the word Christ, Christian. That's what we depend upon. The word that we focus on in this lesson, again, the word fully, all, completely. And listen, fully is not partially. Remember that. When He says that we are to rest our hope fully on the grace, it's not a partial. It is 100%. Our hope must be fully resting upon the grace of God. That means everything in our life dependent upon the grace of God. That means there's nothing left. We're talking about the whole pie, everything, 100% upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fully. What does it mean? You know, we kind of outline that here. Our hope, our confidence, our trust, not to be on anything in this world, not physical. It has not got anything to do with health or status, not the money, not the possessions, but fully. And so we think about this. You know, think of that pie. It's 100%. And yet many people are really dividing up their hope. You know, so many times. Maybe we 40%. I give 40% of my hope is resting in God. But then again, I have family. And I give 10% to family. I give 20% to my job. Because, of course, we wouldn't have the things we have if I don't have a job. I give maybe 10% to material possessions. Those are the things that I hope get me to work day and day. My car, the heating and air conditioning in my home, and running water, those kinds of things. So we divide it up, and maybe we give 10% to our own health. And I think that's kind of accurate. I think most people would, if you sit down and really define yourself in the sense of where our hope rests, I don't believe that it actually rests 100% fully on the grace of God. And these numbers, you know, they're going to differ with different people. You can't pin it all down. There's no template that we all fit into. But for the most part, our hope is divided up. You know, and it's more likely that we never place 100% squarely on the grace of God, squarely on the shoulders of our Lord and Savior. And if we're honest, you know, we're going to place a little bit here, a little bit there, maybe in money. You know, we want to retire and we want to save and have money, income, so that we can retire in pleasure and with relaxation, and maybe a little hope is in my health, because I know that if my health's not good, that as I grow older and older and older, it's only going to get worse and worse. Maybe the hope is in our job. Maybe a little bit there. What do I do if I lose my job? Where will I go? How will I eat? Where will I live? How do I give to my children and my wife? Our hope might be a little bit in family. But if you stop and you think about this for a little bit, I think that's why sometimes even the most faithful can have their hopes shattered. I want you to think about that. No matter what we do, if our hope isn't 100% complete, all, fully, upon the grace of God, if we hope in anything else, even the tiniest bit, when our hope reaches out to these other factors, then we're shaken. And for some people, it's tragedy. Tragedy. We become crushed because something went wrong in the family. We become crushed because our health dwindles down, and we become crushed because we don't have the things that we had yesterday. When something happens to our bank account, our savings, we become dwindled. Our hope becomes dwindled. What's happening? That means that we're putting hope in something other than fully putting it in the hands of God, in His grace. When Peter uses that word, fully, what was he saying? What does it mean to be resting your hope fully on the grace? Well, 100% is on eternal life. Our hope rests 100% on eternal life. That's what he wants us to understand. 100% of our hope is on the promises of God, that he will meet all of our needs, that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return. One day he'll raise us up. One day we'll be given a new body. Our hope is in that, to see the face of God. That is where our hope must be. And not partially, not a little bit, not a little less, but 100%. Our hope should be on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 100% on the power of God and salvation through His grace. So that means not 1%, not 0.1% should be left on anything else. And yet that is exactly what happens. And listen, I know it's a challenge. It's a challenge because of all of our riches that we have this day, all of our comforts, all of our possessions. Everything that goes on around us in this world makes it very hard for anyone who has something to depend and rely fully on the grace of God. It's just very difficult. It's a challenge in the largest sense of the word. It's a tremendous challenge. There's just no way around that truth. And many people are experiencing this very thing, even this day. You know, we think about this. There's a virus. How am I going to get to work? Am I going to be able to work? Am I going to be in trouble with other people? Do I have to worry all day long? How am I going to care for my children if I can't work? How am I going to care for their education? How am I going to make sure they get what they need to survive in this world? Will I get sick? What will happen if I lose my job? How long will this last? What do we do when something goes wrong in our lives? I lost my job. Oh, what am I going to do? Do we worry? Do we panic? Do we become distraught? What happens when you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you some bad news concerning your health? What's going on in your mind as you drive from the doctor's office back home to your family? Is your hope for the future shattered? Are you destroyed and distraught? And you think, what about a family member gets sick? Where do you go? Do you panic? Do you worry? Are you crushed? Do you feel hopeless and helpless? Not if your hope is fully resting upon the grace of God. and not the things of this world. We think about this, on these things, that's how we find out the truth about ourselves. We're supposed to look into the perfect law of liberty in the mirror of our lives. The Word of God should be there. And we can see, as we look at our own lives, where is my hope resting? Is my hope resting fully upon the grace of God? Do I trust God's grace to help me with my health, or to help me when I don't have health? Do I trust in the grace of God to help me when I lose my job and I don't have an income? Do I trust in the grace of God fully when my children seem to be going astray? Do I trust in God fully when there's trials and tribulations in my life? So that at these times when we're tested, as in our last lesson, if you remember from last week, we learn what genuine faith is, and we learn what it is not. This is what Peter wants us to see here to begin with in this verse. He wants us to see that if we don't have 100% all completely and fully upon the grace of God, then we're lacking. And so the question is, how do we do this? Well, if we look at verse 13 there, Peter gives a formula that, Lord willing, we'll finish this today, if not maybe this evening. But he gives us a formula. And it begins with, gird up your loins, the loins of your mind. You see that there? He says, therefore, in verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up your minds. And, you know, I know that the New King James says that. Other verses, translations might have, you know, prepare your minds, set yourself, get ready. Gird up your minds is actually a metaphor for Oriental people who wore the long, flowing robes. Men, women, they had these long robes that went clear down to their feet. And when it came time for a battle, for any kind of action, they would bind that up so that they didn't trip on their own garments. And that's what it means to gird up. That's where that came from. Be ready, it says, for any kind of repose. Prepare your mind. Be ready. Be energetic. Prepare your minds for actions. That's what he's saying there. That's what it means to gird up. And listen to me, I'm in no way, shape or form minimizing trials and tribulations, troubles in life, because they're going to come and they'll test us. And it would be extreme in some cases, even to the point of death. We're looking, you know, you see your doctor, he says you have 3-4 months maybe. You know, we have a sister here in the church that passed away last year of cancer. It was fast. And we all know those kinds of situations. But in every case, if our hope is fully resting upon the grace of God, then we won't be crushed. We won't be challenged to the point where we can't handle those trials and troubles. We won't be destroyed. We won't feel helpless. We will not lose hope, because the hope is on the grace. And it's fully there. And grace doesn't change. Grace, remember, isn't just salvation. Grace is the power of God to deal with every aspect of our lives, both good and bad. And so, remember also that our life is not here. Think of that. Our life is not here. This living in this world is just temporary. It's just a simple, temporary place we're just passing through. Our hope is in the living God, in the resurrection, and in God's grace. It's not about temporal things. It's about eternal things. If your hope is firmly founded on the grace of God, it can't move. It can't be shaken. and you won't feel helpless. You'll know that God is there. You'll know that He wants to help you. And so our life isn't here. Our life is eternal in the heavens. That's what we're hoping for. And listen, with God we'll always find a way. If you remember Peter, when he says, gird up the loins of your mind, he's saying, think clearly about God's grace. Rest that fully upon the grace of God. And gird up the loins of your mind. Think clearly. Right? Hope is not here. You are extremely valuable, your soul, and yet it's not the soul, but it's the body that lives here. It's your end is not here. Because of the grace of God, our end isn't here. This is just temporary. Our end, Lord willing, will be in paradise and in heaven one day with God because of His grace. Without that kind of hope, we can be crushed. We can be moved to shatter and have disaster. You know, and that's what we're seeing in the world. When something goes wrong, people jump out of the proverbial window, right? I looked up an article concerning the things that are going on today, and the CDC came up with something really interesting. He says, quote, during June 24th through the 30th, 2020, U.S. adults reported considerably elevated adverse mental health conditions associated with COVID-19. Where's their hope? Elevated adverse mental conditions. Where's their hope? And when you think about the world, he goes on to say, experienced disproportionately worse mental health outcomes, increased substance use, and elevated suicide ideation. Listen, where's their hope? Where'd the hope go? Well, the people that are suffering in these ways, they don't have their hope resting fully upon the grace of God. Younger adults, ethnic groups, minorities, essential workers, unpaid adult caregivers, they report having these terrible experiences. And some even commit suicide. The suicide rate's up. It's a fact. Why? Because they're not putting their hope fully upon the grace of God, which is the only way. They're not girding up their loins of their mind, and they're not stinting and saying, well, what am I going to do here? My focus is upon God. My focus is 100% on His grace. He can handle all my troubles, all my cares. I'm just going to shift them over here and let God take them, and I'm going to have that peace that He talks about. And that's not what's happening in the world today. We gird up the loins of our minds means that I'm going to be ready. I am focused on God and His power in my life. I'm prepared for battle against Satan, and I'm ready to cast off anything and everything that this world throws my way. Wasn't that the mind of Job? I mean, you think about Job. He lost everything. He lost his property, his homes. He lost all his servants. He lost his children. He even lost his health. He lost everything. And then he had to deal with his wife. Right? She says, do you still hold to your integrity? Curse God and die. What about Job? What was his answer when his wife said that? Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? You see where his hope was? His hope was in God, in the Lord, his Master, his King. His hope was in the grace of God. And his answer proved that to us. He was trusting completely in God. He said in chapter 1, verse 21, he said that naked I come into this world, out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All these trials going on around him, all the troubles, all the loss, all the problems with his health, and he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Where's his hope? Now, as you think about Job resting his hope fully upon God's grace, his life is proof that it's possible. Remember, Job wasn't Jesus. Job was just a man who lost it all. And yet he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, that's proof. It's possible that you and I and other members of the church, we can have everything taken away, even our health, and we should still be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember, he sat down with pot shears and scraped all these things off the boils and the sores, and he was licked by dogs and just deplorable. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know, I can't help but think about his friends. His friends. If you think back of his friends and all the things that they threw at him, challenging him, claiming that he must have sinned to be in this situation. You had to have sinned. God wouldn't do this to you if you had not sinned. He wouldn't allow these things to happen. And yet his hope still rested upon God. Those friends, I don't even think I would call them friends. I know the scriptures do, but I have a hard time with that because they egged him and badgered him and criticized him and called him a liar and every other thing in the book. But they were his friends. You see, when we trust in friends, when we trust in the world and possessions, family, our hope can be shattered. Right? And so that's why, that's what Peter's asking every one of us, every saint in Christ, that's what he's asking us to do. Gird up the loins of your mind. Solely, completely, 100%. Remember some, those other translations. Remember the ESV that said, hope completely on the grace. Right? The contemporary English version, put all your hope. Rest all your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, what does he say? He says, stop placing any portion of your hope and trust in anything of this world. Stop putting less than 100% in God. Stop placing your hope in possession. Stop placing your hope in family and friends, relationships, and start fixing your eyes upon the things above. Place all your hopes on the grace. And think about it. You go camping and you're in a tent and the windstorm comes. Powerful wind, driving wind, rain, hail. And you had your hope in that tent. I've been in situations like that and I know those tents just fall over. Think of the three little pigs. Right? That first little pig, his hope was in straw. And that wolf comes along, the devil, and he huffs and puffs and that house is gone. The second little pig built his house out of sticks. He thought for sure that would protect him. But huff and puff and the house is gone. That's how easy it is when your hope rests in something other than the grace to lose your foundation, to be shaken. That third little pig. Right? What did he do? He built his house with bricks. And that devil came along, that wolf, if you will, and he huffed and puffed, and it didn't fall, and he huffed and puffed, and it didn't fall. Why? Because it was built with bricks. But as you think about that metaphor and that think about a tornado and what happens to houses and buildings. Think of an earthquake. Think of the fires in San Francisco that destroyed pretty much the whole town. Earthquake not that many years ago that crushed bridges and houses. Think about the Twin Towers in New York. 9/11. People believed that they were safe in their homes. They believed they were safe in that tower. They believed that they were safe in their tents. And that third little pig thought he was safe in that brick house. You know, Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, says something that parallels this whole thought. In Matthew, at chapter 7, verse 21, verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house not with rocks." Not like that third little pig. That house may have been built with bricks and mortar, but with a good earthquake and a strong tornado, that house is going to fall. But Jesus is saying, not with sticks, not with straw, not with bricks, but on the rock. If our hope is fully resting upon on the rock, our hope will not be shattered. Our hope will not fall. Jesus says, whoever hears these words of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, the winds came, the floods came and the winds blew and they beat on that house and it did not fall. For it was founded upon the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. That rock is the Word of God. That rock is resting fully upon the grace of God. For everything in life, remember this life is just temporary. It's like a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow, James says. So I want to encourage you now, and Lord willing tonight, to make sure that you test yourself. Look in the mirror. Try to understand, what is it that I'm trusting in? Because whatever it is, it can be taken away unless it's the solid rock of Christ. And so that's what Peter wants us to do. He wants us to gird up the loins of our mind. Think about these things. Reason these things out. And rest your hope fully upon the grace. God's grace is wonderful because it includes the salvation. If we believe and are baptized. You know, that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He came into this world. He suffered terribly so on that cross. And He died to be the lamb sacrifice for all of us. Think with me. Reason with me. Understand that when the trials and tribulations come, we need grace. We need grace to be saved. We need grace to live life according to the will of God, and we need His grace to be able to have the strength and be renewed when we fall short in sin. If you have a need this day, this is the best time right now. Because as this lesson unfolded before our eyes, we realize that apart from grace, we really don't have anything. We need to make our life right with God, and when it alters the course, we need to get back on that course. Repent. If you have not been baptized into Christ, be baptized for the remission of sins and begin that journey, placing all your hopes fully upon the grace of God. If you have a need, now's the day. Now's the time. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.